Welcome to the Hex Pod, an arcane League of Legends podcast dedicated to reviewing each and every episode every week. My name's Nick.
I'm Michelle.
This is our, we're coming hot off the rewatch of episode two,
titled
Some Mysteries Are Better Left Unsolved.
Coming hot off the shimmer, hot shimmering in her pants. So, are you a hex in the streets or a shimmer in your sheets?
You're so corny. I like it.
Yeah, it's a little daddy jokey, but that's all right. So, okay, so we just got done rewatching for the second time. What are your thoughts on rewatch?
This one, I think, was way more, I was gonna say, fast-paced, but it jumped around a lot. So, it kind of, this is our first view of Top City of
Piltover.
Piltover. Well, I like to call it Top City because okay. I feel for us non-leaguers, that is our name for it.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah, it was definitely more, you know, this was the one episode, I think I told you this before, that was, I was kind of like, I wasn't really quite sure on the first time we watched it. And this was literally the only episode in the whole show that I'm not going to say I didn't like. I just thought it was paced kind of weird. And on the rewatch, I kind of thought the same thing. It's still paced a little weird. Like it's, like you said, it jumps left, right, up, down, center. Like literally, like somebody will just say one sentence and it'll jump to the next scene. And I think it happened like twice. So it's still good. I mean, what does that really mean? That it's not as good as the others? It's still.
I still feel like it said a lot of. And even though the scenes were short, it kind of did tell us a lot.
Exactly.
The visual cues and.
Yeah. The pacing of the show, once again, is just, it's, like I say, like breakneck speed. But I mean, especially for this episode, it's just nonstop. It's just one thing after another. As we're taking notes, I couldn't even write as fast as to keep up with the notes with how fast the show was moving along. But anyways, this episode was written by Ash Brannon, Nick Luddington, Amanda Overton. Do you know who they are?
I know.
Me either. So, I don't know. There's this, I'm pretty sure one, either Christian and Alex were a part of the writer's room on the first episode, but this one doesn't appear that they're a part of it. The same directors as the last episode, which I'm assuming they're going to be the same directors. I haven't checked for all the other episodes, but it's the production company.
We'll find out as we go, right?
Yeah. But this one, this one's going to give, let's just go to give the IMDb breakdown of what it says. Real short, idealistic inventor Jace attempts to harness magic through science, despite his mentor's warning. Criminal Kingpin Silco tests a powerful substance. Yeah.
Dum, dum,
dum. This one focuses way more on Piltover than it did Zahn, like in the first episode. But ready to dive into it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. All right, we open up the scene with Jason Catlin walking through the apartment. And this is, I guess, an introduction to Jason Catlin, which are going to be two of our main characters. They're walking through the apartment as the heist of the four kids are happening. As you kind of see the other POV, Jace tries to get inside. Gem drops, explodes. Jace is knocked out. This is when we get a vision. This literally happened, right? This is not just something he is.
Yes.
This literally happened.
Yes.
Okay.
At first I wasn't sure. Like at the beginning, I didn't know if this is just because he kind of gets knocked out. So it's like in coma type thing.
Yeah.
And it's a dream. And I kind of was writing. I wrote down a flashback / dream. And it's of him and his mom. I'm assuming his mom, she looked very motherly.
Yeah.
holding him, walking through basically a snowstorm.
Lost.
Yep. There's obviously no one else around. And then she collapses.
Yep, freezes to dust apparently. And then an arcane mage comes out of nowhere and does some sort of spell magic thing. And
same kind of blue stones.
Yeah, the hex stones. He's using arcane hex magic. He brings them back to some type of non-snow area. Field of flowers. Brings her back to life. And this kind of gives you the introduction that Jace now knows what is the potential of hex power.
Yep. And it shows in that scene, too, of him getting a little tiny gem.
Yes, yes, which he has on his wrist the whole rest. Yeah, rest
and that's
of the show.
How I knew that it wasn't just a dream; that that was a flashback.
Right, obviously. Because
they show him like rubbing the stone on his bracelet.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was some type of premonition of a hallucination. He's like, but it's not. It doesn't matter. But I guess this kind of sets the stage. I guess once again, the more I think about this shit, when they really do such a phenomenal job setting the stage for the rest of the episode of why Jace is so hell bent on getting this Hextech magic stuff figured out, because he literally seen it with his two eyes. And this is, I guess, the contrast with Heimerdinger, which we'll talk about in a minute, about how he is so against it because he saw it used in war in malicious ways.
Right.
And Jace was only seen it in the exact opposite, to bring life back.
Saved him and his mom.
Yeah. So that's why. Yeah. So that's exactly why he's so, driven about getting this off the ground. But yeah, so the vision happens. Then we take a next step into Vi in their hideout. She's using this punching bag type of machine thing, beating it up, kind of like it's almost like a game.
Right? Yeah, I put arcade.
Yeah, an arcade.
They're
game.
An arcade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then Milo is, of course, whining about Powder not being able to fix the guns right, which is funny because he's like, I would hit these things if Powder could fix these guns right. Then Powder pops out of nowhere and the game is
lit up and working.
Yeah, it's like, what is it, like a shoot? It's like a Nintendo game almost or something. But it had that.
To me, it reminded me of like when you go to like the arcades, you go to like Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, and you throw the balls at the little clowns and they knock them down.
yeah, that. Well, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Back to the Future 3 when he shoots those fucking those pie things. That's what I'm thinking of. But so Powder. See, and again, this shows Powder knows what she's doing when it comes to engineering, fixing things. She's mechanically sound.
Also, in that scene, she's a really good shot.
Yeah, exactly.
She's definitely better than the boys. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because Milo's blaming her. Like, you can't fix these guns right. And they obviously are, because she just bullseye every single shot. So, I don't know. I guess it just kind of lays the groundwork more. There's a lot more to her than what the two kids see than compared to what Vi sees in her.
Yeah.
It's just laying that groundwork out even thicker. So, but then we see the enforcers. They're down there roughing the Zahn citizens up, trying to figure out where, who caused the explosions.
Yes.
That's what they're doing, right? Yeah. And they're basically shaking down everybody.
They are ordered to find who's responsible and bring them to light, basically. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you have anything else about that last scene? I mean, I kind of breezed right through it.
They definitely, they get like a patron of Zahn, and he spits on their shoes. So there obviously is more of a rift between.
Yeah, that guy's kind of a badass. He just don't give a shit. Yeah, well, and it kind of shows a loyalty amongst the citizens of Zahn too. That they Xander or Vander in the last episode wouldn't not give up a name to Grayson when she tried to pressure him to give him, like, just give me a name. No, and yeah.
I'll say also about that scene, I just remembered the guy gets spits on the shoes and then he gets thrown through the glass.
Yeah.
So where the gang is. And so the enforcers come in and find them.
In the pursuit.
And that one thing I guess I noted was they flip a switch and the iconic black light.
Yep.
Thing. Images come out and the signal.
Was it like is that like a rabbit face or what is that?
I don't know. She does like a lot of mouse stuff, isn't it?
Maybe that's a mouse. Yeah. It's like a black and white. I know going future, there's like a lot of comparisons, like Harley Quinn and stuff, but I don't know. I think it's a little bit, personally, I think it's a little bit better than Harley Quinn's character. I think there's a lot more nuance to her, but we'll be talking about that here in the future. But as of right now, the kids get in a scruffle with the enforcers. They have to run again back to their old tricks of trying to get away. They do it pretty much no problem. They scoot right. Like, I think Powder even says it like later. She's like, we fought off bunch of enforcers, it was just the four of us. When she's trying, they're trying to kind of like muster everyone to get into fighting. And she mentions it, like, we just got away, no problem at all. And it's true. I mean, they can handle these guys pretty easily. And this is kind of, this is after this scene is when we start jumping around a lot.
Yeah.
Cause my notes start getting haywire. Like, but anyways, this is when we, the introduction to Mel, which is one of the council members. And she's basically, they're trying to tell her about what happened with Jace, about the explosion. I mean, there's really not a lot to talk about other than you just kind of introduce that she's one of the council members. It's basically all that happens, right? Nothing really else.
And also in that scene, and maybe, like I said, it's just little small things. Like I said, she's picking out a gift for another council member, and she ends up picking out a gift that's like a child's toy.
Yeah.
And to me, it just kind of, the scene just kind of laid out that she's, like, I think the council members are all supposed to be equal, but she's kind of like, I got them kind of in the palm of my hand a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. She's definitely has the, I'm going to manipulate people. And I talked about that quite a bit with you when we watched it the first time, but we'll get to know her a little bit better. This is kind of just the introduction.
I'm just realizing now that's kind of a little bit of a, she's kind of a, I don't say wild card, but like, do we trust her or do we not trust her type thing?
Yeah, too. Yeah. Her hand hasn't been quite laid out quite yet, so we don't know. But yeah, I remember we always talked about that when we first watched this, but.
And I don't know if we mentioned this because she's getting ready for council. And because we didn't, I don't know if we saw, but there was a scene before where Jace and Grayson are in his apartment. And that's when Victor comes into, he works for.
I blew through two scenes here. Okay. Yeah. My notes are all over the place. So let's back up a little bit. You're right. Grayson is actually, again, she's one of the, she's like the head enforcer, the marshal, I guess.
I don't know if they ever said that, but that's what I get implied. So
yeah, Grayson's looking through the apartment, questioning Jace about what happened, and Victor's there too as well. Kind of like, are you sanctioned to be doing these experiments? And Jace says no, and Grayson's basically this question, trying to get to the bottom of what happened in this apartment. And that's when the introduction to Victor too as well. He tells you that he's an assistant to one of the council members. So well, he says it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says it. So, yeah, I mean, it's other than that. And that's when they arrest Jace. And Jace goes to jail. And this is also when the very next scene, we get the introduction to Heimerdinger. He is the senior council member. He mentions he's 307 years old and he's a little furball. So...
And he's full of wisdom and knowledge. He lays down a lot of quotes, life quotes.
Yeah,
in every scene that he's in.
He's spitting out one-liners constantly. You know, he could be,
Must be on Pinterest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and this starts to lay the groundwork when Jace is kind of telling Heimer, I want to learn about this hex tech. I want to make the magic happen, the arcane magic in Heimer. This is when you start to learn that Heimer's really against it. He's they don't really say why yet, but he is against it when Jace is in the jail cell, and found out Jace is only 24 years old too.
And he also advises him, Jace, not to say anything to council about magic.
Yeah, well, probably because we don't know yet, but I guess the council members, they do, when that scene comes, they do lay out why they're against it. Like that one robot guy's like, arcane magic almost destroyed my race.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people have reasons to be against. And again, this is with the age difference. Jace is so young and these guys are a lot older and have seen a lot more in life.
Right.
So, but then again, they don't really say if. Because the members, and even Heimer, they only focus on the negative of arcane magic, and they don't ever talk about the pot. So have they even seen what it can do? Have they seen what Jace has seen? I wonder.
I don't know. Like, I mean, because to me it almost seems like, I said, I don't know if we're there yet, but like that they've only seen when people try to make it artificially. They don't ever talk about when they see like natural, because they talk about,
The one council member says that she thought it's only natural.
Natural arcane power.
Yeah.
They call it. But they only show that, like, the negative is when people are trying to make it, which is what Jace is trying to do. So I kind of can get them being against it. Like, if it's not natural, you shouldn't fuck with it, basically.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, you know, it sounds like it's, I mean, obviously it's magic, but it sounds like it's a technology that they think he clearly doesn't understand. Because, you know, if this shit gets in the wrong hands, it's game over.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, you can compare this to probably a lot of things in real life. You know, like we were, I was telling you, it's like the nuclear bomb.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer. If it's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of moral conundrums they came across. I mean, obviously. So, I don't know. It's interesting. This is kind of just the beginning of it. But, all right. So, we got to flash forward. We kind of went forward, went back. Now, we're going back forward.
It's kind of how the whole episode is.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. It doesn't really. Yeah, exactly. So, after we meet Mel, you find out... You find out Jace's family they have a family business of making tools.
House of tool makers.
Yeah, house of tool makers. And there's actually, I don't know if you noticed this, but a few scenes later, there's actually a picture of Jace and his dad with a giant hammer.
Yeah.
And also, this is kind of where you meet Caitlin's family, which I'm going to butcher her last name. Like, because what the hell is it? It's Kiriman or something. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it, but her family is, it appears to be that they're two families. Jace's family, Caitlin's families are friends. Like they're close because
patrons.
Yeah. Because Caitlin and his mom are talking about, they're going to support Jace and what happens in this council meeting. They're fully behind him. So, yeah, there's history there. There's history.
And they are definitely, though, Caitlin's family is way richer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they come from money. But do they live next door to each other?
I'm not sure.
Because
they obviously live both in Piltover, but...
I mean, they're all...
They don't really say how they're connected. And they said that I picked up on.
And all these people are kind of rich in their own way.
Yeah.
I mean, to live there.
Yeah.
So...
He went to the academy, so he must be...
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking the Yell of arcane League of Legends, so... Anyhow, so you have something to say? Mm-mm. Oh.
As I say, well, then they switch back over and they end up to a scene in what, the last drop again?
Yeah, this is when we go back to the last drop. And this is kind of where they're debating about a lot of the people there, the citizens are everyone's kind of inside the last drop, kind of like a meeting, I guess. And they're talking about wanting to fight the enforcers, basically want to take back... they're sick of their shit. Vander's very against it.
And they're kind of starting to see as Vander is kind of weak.
Too. Yes. Yes. And this is where things get complicated because, I mean, Vander explains all this to Vi. I led the charge across the bridge. I got lots of people killed. And I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to see anybody die. And again, this is what we talked about last episode. You know, he doesn't want to fight unless his back is against the wall. When he has no other choice.
And I think it's partly because he cares about Vi and
he has a family.
Powder. And while he's doing this whole scene, they're actually like on the bridge and there's a memorial.
Yeah.
All over too. So.
Yeah. I mean, they lost a lot of people in that fight because he looks really, every time he comes up, he's real shaken up about it. So, and the kids, of course, they want to fight. They're, fuck, let's get them. And Powder, this is when Powder makes her comments about, there's only four of us and we took on the enforcers. They're gung-ho. Daddy Vander ain't going to let that happen. But this is when Echo lets Vi know that actually Vander has a deal with Grayson and the enforcers about keeping the peace down there. Vi's a little upset about that. But again, this is the politics. This is something that the kids are not going to understand. There's going to be shit that people are going to have to do. I mean, fuck, this is like, I mean, I guess this shit kind of always happens in movies, especially like cop movies. There's always like, I mean, I'm sure it probably happens in real life too. There's cops have deals with certain people in the neighborhoods to try to keep things cool. Right.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that happens.
And Vander would be the guy to keep a deal with.
Yeah, well, because I mean, he's way more level-headed than all the rest of the people. He's the leader. You know, we've talked about this before, but yeah.
And also, I mean, and like I said, in the scene where they were talking about with like, you know, at the last drop where like the people were kind of getting angry at Vander for not doing it are some of the people we see later who are, I don't want to say jump ship, but kind of
they walk like, out on them.
Well, you kind of see later a divide.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and there's going to be, there's going to be a split of people down there. I mean, it's going to be pretty tough to unite everybody, especially to, well, I mean, they're watching these enforcers, this kind of roughhouse, all these people down there. And like, and no one's, luckily, no one's talking really. Everyone's kind of keeping their mouths shut and not giving up any names. But I mean,
they're definitely getting crap beat out of them.
Yeah. I mean, we see this shit right now during fucking the last 2 years. The cops do shit to people. People riot, they come together. I mean, it's a goddamn mess. You know, it's a fucking mess. So, I mean, and these people are poor. All these people down there are poor. And the enforcers are coming down just trying. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. But, okay, this is where Jace. Okay, let's move on to the next scene. Jace goes into the council. Do you have something else to say?
No.
Oh, okay. Jace goes into the council meeting to get have the question about the incident with the Hextech gems and it being stolen, the explosion. And there's a lot of stuff going on. You kind of get an idea of all the council members. Was there, how many was there? Seven?
Seven, yes.
Is there seven? Yeah. Jace wants to make, okay, I'm trying to just read my notes here as I'm flying through this stuff. Jace wants to make the arcane. The council is very much against it, especially Hymer. You kind of get this flashback of Hymer was in some type of war. They don't, they really don't explain this more other than that kind of painted, off-painted flash he has, whatever that is. But I guess you just get the sense some bad shit happened there and arcane magic was part of the problem. They decide to expel Jace instead of
exile
him. So yep,
that's the punishment for exile.
His mom kind of comes in and gives the speech. And
Caitlin's mom, she's a council member too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Yeah.
But she didn't really talk very much in that scene, but I think her member was in there.
And she probably didn't say much because she didn't. What did she say? Did she say much of anything?
No, she's all talk before about sticking up for him, being a patron, but then I don't think she really said much.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, like, I mean, we kind of already gone over this, but the council members kind of make their circle, and that one robot guy is, whatever his name is, talks about his race almost getting wiped out by the arcane, and I don't know, it's just kind of a big thing that they're really against it, but moving on to Marcus meets with Silco
for the first time.
Yep. And they kind of, what, it's such a brief scene. It's like 30 seconds. What did Silco say to him?
Basically something along the lines where Marcus was called there to wherever Silco was, and he's wondering why he's called there, and Silco says,
oh yes, the power statement says
something along the lines of kind of classic, we'll all make it worth your while line.
Yeah, there really isn't much to talk about because it's so brief, but that's when I had the notes with the picture of Jace at the hammer. Oh, and
that scene, that's where I definitely knew that that was a flashback and not a daydream, because Jace makes a mention to his mom about how it saved her life.
Yeah, right.
And that's why he doesn't feel like he can stop. Mm. That, like, basically, I think this is a scene where his mom's like, well, you should just go back to making tools and stay with me. And he's like, you know, he wants magic to, because it helps people.
Yeah. Yep, and we kind of, with Victor, wants to, he's kind of, in the next, again, change scenes already, Victor wants to, he's kind of talking to Hymer about this, he's kind of intrigued with what Jay said, he's kind of wants to pursue the arcane studies that Jace is doing, Hymer is still against it, not much more else to say other than that, they're just kind of reiterating the fact. But this is kind of the very next scene, Silco, this is where he feeds the shimmer to, what was that guy named? Decker? Was that his name?
Decker, yeah.
Decker, yeah. He gives Decker the vial of shimmer. And this is when he kind of discusses power about basically it's not in strength, it's not in smart, it's not how intelligent you are. It's just basically your ambition to do whatever it takes to come out on top.
Yeah.
And so Silker gives that to him and fucking, I guess it motivated that guy to drink that purple shit and
turn into
whatever
it is.
That's all you needed to hear was do what it takes.
And it's like kind of like a, I mean, it's kind of like a no brainer, but something I don't know, I stop and think about. But like, so Jace is over here trying to make his own form of magic, and Silco's over here trying to make his form of quote magic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's
I called it dark magic.
Yeah. The light versus the dark. Yeah. Fucking Star Wars shit.
Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like the parallel difference of, you know, good versus evil, what drives people to do things. I mean, yeah. I mean, Silco's doing is just strictly to have power. Jace is, he wants to help people with it. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's so good about this shit is that, the stuff with, like, well, I mean, I guess with Silco and the Shimmer, there's not really much more to it other than that it's strictly for power. There's really nothing good that can come out of Shimmer, is there?
I think so, a little bit. I mean, I think Silco's idea of it, I mean, I something I don't really want to say right now. We'll say a little bit later. I think he's got alternative motives with it, but.
For the most part, though, it's a pretty shitty thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like giving meth to the Nazis and being don't don't sleep, go fight. I mean, it's pretty shitty thing to do, but yeah, but like the Hextech power is a lot, very complicated situation. And that's why it's so good. Mm-hmm. But okay. Yeah, so Decker drinks that shit, turns into purple monster, and we go into the next scene. Jason, Caitlin are just talking outside.
I was gonna say, is it her house or is it the academy? Because I was just thinking, it's funny, he's supposed to never step ground on the academy again, and then like that night he's back trying to get to get in. But I didn't know if it was her house or not.
I don't know
or either. How it's all connected, but
I think it was her house because her mom just steps right outside and grabs her and goes back inside. But
But basically, there's kind of a little bit of a line. This is just like little things you have to pick up on. And I never did the first time. Mm-hmm. But now going through the second time, like basically Jace is like saying now he's an outsider. And Caitlin's inside the gate. But she's saying that she still feels like an outsider too.
Oh, like she's not part of the group or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But like I said, this is like a small little scene that's like two lines basically. And I don't know, but it's like little, no, I don't want to say hints, but like just little.
Plants the seed.
Exactly.
Plants the seed. Right. So let's see here. Let me see if I can read my scribbles.
And then I show that the next scene is the council members. So I think it's just I don't know if it's all the council members, but it's Mel.
Most of them.
And they're talking to
Grayson and Marcus.
Grayson and Marcus. And they're basically saying, we need a face. We need a name. The people of this town, they're hearing all this stuff about the man-made magic.
Yep.
And they're starting to kind of freak out. And so they're going to get whoever caused this explosion and pin them as the magic makers and
do what say,
we got them. Yep. Yeah, we got them. We're going to get them off the streets for you.
Doesn't that... You know, it's, there's a problem we just need to face. We don't give a shit whose face it is.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's even better if it's somebody from Zahn than it is from.
Doesn't that sound, that sounds awfully familiar.
That sounds terrible, but, you know, but true to life sometimes. Yeah.
You know, there's always got to be a face. You know, makes for a good headline.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, I guess they don't ever really show the Piltover citizens, do they?
Later they do.
And do they?
A little bit more, but not in this episode, not the.
I'm sure there's probably public pressure to figure this out too, from the Piltover citizens, but give us the face. Marcus, now this is when Marcus moves over to goes over to back to the last drop to basically talk shit to Vander and try to find the kids or find something that would hint at on who it could be that did the explosion. And Marcus is basically just sitting at the bar talking mad smack to Vander, and Vander's just taking it.
When his enforcers are searching the premises.
He's just taunting them and just lighting the bar on fire with that blue shit or whatever that was.
Vander uses one of Powder's little bomb things as a signal for them to hide.
Oh, yeah. He pushed the button. Yeah, he warned the kids. The kids go into hiding, and the enforcer comes looking for them.
They almost get caught.
Yeah, and they're after they get caught, they're getting pretty upset with Vander because, you know, they're hot on their heels. You know, the kids can only hide out so long before they got the feeling they're gonna get caught. This is when Vander takes Vi to the bridge.
Yes.
Yeah. And just explains to her, and we kind of already talked about this, but explains to her, I've been down this path. Your parents are dead because of this path.
Yeah. And he talks to her about it's a fight, but is it worth losing, you know, losing him over, losing sister over, losing, you know, Milo or Clagger over. And so I think this is kind of talking a little bit more sense into Vi and maybe giving her another idea.
Yeah. And I think it worked too. It kind of settled her down a little bit. Because, you know, I don't know. I think it worked. I mean, we kind of already talked about it, but.
And that scene also explains what we kind of talked about in the last episode, the opening scene. So.
Exactly. So. Yeah. It all the roads lead back to there. Right. And that's why that opening was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let's see here.
Then they go back to the scene where Jace is at his apartment. That's where I have.
Oh, yes. Okay. Losing myself here. This is when Jace is about to kill himself.
He's basically, he can't make magic. He can't go back to the academy.
Throwing in the towel.
He doesn't want to make hammers. He'd rather off himself.
Can't make my hammer. Yeah, so he's about to throw himself, and this is when Victor kind of comes out and interrupts him and pulls him back, gives him his gem, and talks him in some sense into him.
I like the line he says, though. Like I said, there's a lot of quotes in this. I don't know if it was all Heimendinger, but Victor says a quote. He says, when you want to help the world, don't ask for permission. I like that one. I wrote it down.
You gonna use that? which it makes sense, especially with this crazy world. I mean, you just have to kind of fucking do it. I mean, especially because, like, you know, with all Jace has, it looks like Jace has the resources to do a lot of things. He has the money, he has the tools from the academy, he's surrounded by very smart people. But at the same time, there's people that don't want him to do this. But if he can fucking just go for it.
Yeah. He just kind of didn't really have the support. He had everyone telling him, no, don't do this. It's wrong. It's bad. But Victor's like, it ain't so bad.
Let's do it.
If you got good intentions, let's figure this out. And yeah.
Okay. Now, let's see here.
Grayson is given... Grayson is kind of tearing, I don't want to say tearing Marcus anew, but he's kind of giving him shit for going to the last drop.
Yeah. I can't read my writing. That's the problem.
You write too fast.
Yeah. Well, this episode moves so fast. Yeah.
But he's basically giving, Grayson is giving Marcus crap for going to the last drop and talking his little shit to Vander and basically saying, you blew it.
Exactly, because it sounds like Grayson, this is years of relationship he could just throw out the window of rapport that he has with Vander that could be just game over.
Then you hear the little clink And she gets the little, I call it, it looks like a bank tube. When you go to the bank drive-thru and there's like a tube. Yeah, the little tube, the special tube that she gave Vander to only FedEx. Communicate for her.
Yeah.
And she said, well, maybe it's not ruined.
Yeah. Well, and do you come to appreciate that it was V that sent, or Vi that sent that?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming from what I got was, then they show the scene of the enforcers. Well, they show Powder talking at the bar with Vander, and the enforcers are coming. This is kind of like a little music scene.
Yeah.
I don't know who sings the song, but the song was called Our Love, and it was kind of like a retro, but I think it was more modern song. Mm. But they're kind of having a little scene, and then they show the enforcers walking down the street is on, and they end up going to Benzo's place.
Yeah, and that's
what, so they kind of, we can't really tell in the scene if they're going to the Last Drop or if they're going, and then they show Benzo's, and then they show him at the door, and then they show Vi sitting there by herself. So I got the impression that Vi stole the tube, was going to take one for the team,
yeah,
and turn herself in, and then credits.
Yep. And that's a wrap on the episode. So, good stuff. I mean, this is my only complaint was my son was trying to watch. He's 8. He watched the first episode. He loved it. He watched this. He made it about halfway through and just, I don't know. Must not have been doing it for him.
It was more of an informative episode, I think.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of action, but I mean, it's still good. Like it lays a lot of train tracks down. But it was just kind of all over the place. I don't know. Still good.
Visuals are still superb.
Yeah, visuals still superb. Music's still good. The action was still pretty good, which there wasn't really a lot of action, but a little of the arcane guy at the beginning was pretty cool. But,
oh yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty neat. But other than that, still a great episode. We're still gonna keep trucking along. We'll get another episode out next week. Anything else?
Come back.
Come back for more. Oh yeah, our email is arcanepod@gmail.com. Write in if you can contribute. If we get emails, we'll read them off, add to the discussion. So yeah.
We're always looking for things that we missed or didn't catch. Or
hey, I don't miss nothing. Nothing.
I do.
So all right, it's been fun. See you next week.